Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20.
Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, was back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
As Paul Dottino, so glad you could join us on this Monday morning, our latest edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, Training Camp Edition, as training camp is well underway, and we are going to get right into all of the biggest topics that have come to the forefront within this last weekend. We'll also be taking your phone calls over the next 60 minutes, an expanded edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow Paul at Giants WFAN. Follow me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, as we will be monitoring Twitter throughout the course of this show. So if you can't get to a phone, certainly you can go the route of social media. You can also check out our Facebook page as well. A lot to get to. A lot has taken place over the last couple of days, but we should first note that a lot of fans out there, I'm sure, are excited that football is back, but there is no one more excited than the gentleman sitting right across from me. He has been itching to get back to football ever since OTAs and minicamp started. Paul Dottino, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Lance, but you underestimate me. I've been itching for this since last January, never mind minicamps and OTAs.
That's true.
I mean, come on now. The beauty of it is that Giants fans are ripping and roaring to go. I mean, we have been talking to them throughout the course of the offseason, and the lack of a playoff appearance last year has not only fueled this coaching staff and fueled these players, but it seems to me that Big Blue Nation is really chomping at the bit for this season to get underway, because these fans want this team to get back to the playoffs again. You know, Tom Coughlin's been doing this now in his 10th year. He's had 5 playoff appearances and 4 non-playoff seasons. Not that those non-playoff seasons have been bad. I mean, when you win 9 games, you win 10 games. You had a couple 8-win game seasons. But when you win 9 and 10 games and don't make the playoffs, it's a disappointment, for sure. But it's not like your team's horrible. You know, nothing worse than being 5-11 and not making the playoffs. Now that's a bad deal. But the Giants have been a successful franchise, and I think the fans are grateful for that, but they're itching to get back to the postseason.
And Jerry Reese commented on what you just alluded to, the fact that, yes, they've won 2 Super Bowls recently, Paul, but when you look at the last 4 years, just 1 playoff appearance, plus after that 2011 season when they made the Super Bowl run, how close were they to not even making the playoffs? They lose to the Redskins and then had to beat the Jets and the Cowboys just to back their way in.
A 9-7 season that resulted in a Super Bowl championship. Yet, if you look at their 3 non-playoff seasons in the last 4, of which Jerry alluded to, they won 8, they won 10, and they won 9, and did not get in. So, I guess what I'm saying is, as a fan, I know everybody wants to win a championship, and I know everybody wants to at least make the playoffs, and I get that. But as a fan, I guess this mentality comes from the 70s, when I grew up here in this New York metropolitan area, and I watched the Jets and the Giants, and I saw some bad football. I saw some bad teams. And I guess what I'm saying is, Giants fans, I know it's disappointing when you don't make the playoffs, but when you have a team that's competitive year in and year out, that at least has a chance to be in the playoff conversation every December, that's a pretty good thing. Think about what it was like in the mid-70s when, I mean, in your wildest dreams, the Giants weren't going to sniff 500. You know what I mean? So Lance, yes, you want to set the bar high. Jerry Reese and company are here to win. I get all of that. But at the same time, it's not nearly as gloom and doom as it was many decades ago.
And I would agree with you. I think they've been in the conversation of the playoffs the last couple of years, and that's all you can really ask for from this team. unfortunately, as you mentioned, in the 1970s, you were running a lot more laps than you were currently because of the stress that you had to watch and endure because they weren't in the playoff conversation time and time again.
You know, Lance, let's just stop this train with Wellington Mara's motto of years and years and years ago. And he always used to say, my number one goal for my team and my fans is to make sure that we are still alive for a postseason bid when we're in the building playing our last home game of the season. Give the fans something to root for. Give them something to cheer about. Give them a reason to come out to your last home game of the season knowing that there's something on the line. Wellington Mara always said, if we can do that, then we have at least put forth a successful season. Maybe not a great season. Maybe not the season that you anticipated or that you wanted. But at least you were able to give your fans their money's worth to know that every game that they came to see and that they plucked their money down meant something. And I think that's a pretty good credo.
Absolutely. And I think that the players have echoed that sentiment. I think that they're putting last season behind them. They're looking forward. You heard Justin Tuck talk about that. You heard Jason Pierre-Paul mention that. And Pierre-Paul has come out and said that he's about 75% healthy at this point following back surgery. No timetable for his return. They're optimistic. They hope potentially it could be week one, but right now it's way too premature to speculate as to whether or not he can get back in time. Right now his goal is to get back to full health, and I think that he's certainly working towards that. The one thing that stands out to me about this team, Paul, compared to maybe the last couple of years, which should build optimism for Giants fans, the depth is there. And I think the depth is there, not just in one facet or one position. You can make the point or the argument, it's across the board.
There are numbers here, Lance. The only thing that I would say that may be a little bit alarming is that there is some unproven depth here. For example, there are numbers at linebacker, but there are a lot of guys who have not proven they can get the job done at a high level for 16 games. Ditto for the running back core. I mean, David Wilson should be just spectacular. But has he done it for 16 games as the man? No. Has Andre Brown been healthy for 16 games? No. So, yeah, there are numbers here, but until these guys go out and put up the numbers that we think they can put up at least once or twice in their careers, we can't say it's a sure thing.
But for the sake of training camp, having numbers breeds competition, and that's a good thing.
It's a wonderful thing.
And that hasn't necessarily been apparent the last couple of seasons, specifically at this linebacker core, which has been a big focus the last couple of days. And it is actually our question for the show. You can reach out on the phones, 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Of this group, who do you think needs to emerge or who will emerge and become the top playmaker? You were at practice the last couple of days. Some surprises, Paul, in terms of the three that got to play with the first unit thus far.
Well, you know, everybody thought going into the minicamps and the OTAs that because they had signed Dan Connor off the Cowboys, that he would be the likely guy in the middle. Hasn't happened that way. Mark Herzlick had a terrific offseason program, looked really good at minicamp, looked really good at the OTAs, and right now, Lance, he's running as the starting middle linebacker. He has resurrected his career from some horrible cameo appearances last season where, look, to be kind, he wasn't very good, okay? And so he's kind of injected himself into the mix again. Kind of like when he was a rookie and he showed some flashes and the Giants really thought he could be something. He's kind of turned back the clock 2 years to put himself back into the chase. The outside linebackers, we knew Keith Rivers was going to be one of them, and he still is. But Spencer Paisinger right now is running as the starting weak side linebacker. Jaquan Williams is clearly the better player, but he missed most of last year because of a knee injury. Missed a lot of the offseason program. In fact, was limited at best during the offseason program because he did not have the surgery. He elected to rehab his knee. And Paisinger, who has worked his butt off, has now moved ahead of him on the depth chart and is getting those first-team snaps. And the coaches are basically telling Spencer, look, this is not just a competition. This is really an open job for you. If you can beat out Jaquan because he's not 100%, go for it. Take the job. as you said, competition is good. And to this point, Payson just had a couple of good days. I think these preseason games are going to be monumental in determining who plays opening one against the Cowboys.
And that first preseason game will be against the Steelers on August 10th, an opportunity for this group to really start balancing out, or at least for them to give the fans and the coaching staff an idea of who is going to be a playmaker. Jaquan Williams was a big loss for them last season because of his versatility. But I think that the guys that are going to solidify spots, Paul, since there are numerous linebackers, are also going to be the players that can contribute on special teams. If you're going to keep an extra linebacker, from Tom Coughlin's perspective, you want to make sure that they can contribute also in other facets of this team.
Well, there's no question that the Giants are going to have a numbers crunch, and it goes back to what you said before about having depth. When you have a bunch of guys to choose from, it gets real sticky at the back end of that 53. I mean, let me tell you something. Tom Coughlin, I've been told, has been staying up at night, like me, for several months.
Well, that goes without saying.
Trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be 50, 51, 52, 53. Special teams will play a huge part in that. But health is also going to be a huge factor because, you know, Terrell Thomas is a guy who is fighting every single way that he possibly can to get back on the field. Now, he's PUP right now. The Giants want to see him out there. There's only one guy in the history of the NFL who's ever come back from three ACLs, Thomas Davis of the Panthers. TNT's got the odds stacked so badly against him. But yet, to this point, his knee has responded, although he's not practicing yet. Tom Coughlin himself said, well, we kind of would like to have seen that, but again, we're going to be patient. We're going to take our time. He's a classic example of a guy who gives the coach agita because you want him to make this roster in the worst way because you know if he can play, he's going to help. But can you trust the health of his knee? And can you give him a spot if his knee's not going to hold up? That's going to be a really, really tough call. And his spot then directly affects somebody else's spot. Will Hill suspended for the first four games of the regular season. Now, he doesn't count against the 53 at the beginning, but at some point, they're going to have to figure out now, do we keep an extra safety? This is tough stuff.
It's very tough. I mean, and this is a numbers game at this point because you want to keep X amount of players at various positions. And speaking of Hill, very open, very forthright with the media yesterday in terms of describing the hardships of his past. And he was asked about his job security, and Hill said he's talked to the coaching staff and he doesn't think the suspension will affect his status on this team. But like you said, it's one thing to say that heading into the season. Then when you get to week five and now you have to take somebody off the roster if you want to keep Hill around, you know, there's going to be somebody that's already played in four games, whereas Hill hasn't played in one game. That's going to be a very tough call for the Giants to make at that point.
And let's say at that point they've got some injuries at one of their other positions. And quite frankly, oh, guess what? The extra safety isn't going to do us any good. You know, we need to make sure we've got those extra running backs on the roster. It's a very, very touchy deal. I think the one thing that people need to understand about what the Giants are trying to do here, besides build a team that's going to contend for the playoffs this season, they have retooled the age on this roster over the last 2 years. If you look at it, Lance, how they have jumbled and constructed this roster to get a lot younger. This is a team that Jerry Reese not only wants to contend this year, but he's thinking the next 2 or 3 years, this team is going to be in the mix. He's not just playing for 2013. So you have to consider that also when you're talking about what he's going to do. I mean, Will Hill's a second-year player, a guy with a lot of upside. It's going to be hard to turn him away.
Will Hill, part of that youth movement, 23 years old, and David Wilson, the starting running back. In his second year, Reuben Randall, you're right. The Giants are certainly going in another direction to not necessarily contend now, but as Paul just laid out, to also contend for years to come and start building a much younger nucleus. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513 on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's open up the lines. We start with Anthony in Albany. Anthony, what's happening?
How you doing?
Doing well, Anthony. What you got? Anthony, do me a favor. If you could lower your computer in the background. We're getting some feedback before you continue here. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I got you.
The floor is yours, Anthony. So what's happening?
All right, yeah, I got a question for you. Do you think that the Giants going to have, like, a battle, like, with the quarterbacks for Eli Manning and Ryan Nassib?
I think that would be difficult at this point to say that there's a quarterback competition. I think Eli's job is safe. In the backup spot, you can maybe make the argument that there could be some competition. But I would think that David Carr certainly has the edge because of what he brings to the table. Knowing the offense, they use him as part of the scout team. He's able to mimic opposing quarterbacks. I don't think Eli Manning's job is in jeopardy at this point. And, Anthony, certainly appreciate you weighing in this morning. In terms of the backup spot, Paul, maybe there's some competition. But does Ryan Nassib, from what you've seen and from what you heard, have a realistic shot at giving David Carr a run for his money?
You know, we're going to see a lot in the preseason of both of those quarterbacks because the Giants know what Eli can do. You know, you're not going to be putting Eli in there for 3 and 4 quarters during these preseason games. He's just in there to shake some rust off. It's really going to be about what can Carr do for us at this point in his career, at what, 33 years old, I think he is now, and what can Nassib
34.
Do? What can Nassib do right off the boat? I don't think Nassib can take that job. I know the Giants, and this goes back to that roster crunch, they really want to keep three. They really do. That's their hope. They may not be able to. You know, you're looking again at the suspension of Hill, possible injuries. They're going to, you know, screw up this roster. Keeping three quarterbacks is not something that Tom Coughlin, you know, has been doing now for several years. But, may have to. You'd have to go back to Super Bowl 42 when he had Anthony Wright and Jared Lorenzen behind Eli to the last time he had three. He doesn't want to do it, but because of Nassib being drafted, they kind of would like to do it this year. I'll tell you this. Carr's looked good so far, first couple of days. Nassib has also looked good, but he's inconsistent with his throws. He'll throw a gorgeous 35-yard strike, and then the next one's fluttering 3-4 yards off the mark. Inconsistent. But clearly, he's got ability.
And he has value, which is, like you said, if it comes down to a numbers game, you don't want to lose him for nothing. You'd hope that, at worst, you could at least trade him and get something in return. It's going to be very difficult because of the depth that we've talked about, where you may not be able to keep three or four guys at a set position because you need depth elsewhere. Take, for example, Jason Pierre-Paul's status at this point. They've got to keep another defensive end because he's probably not going to be ready, at least at this point, for week one. So instead of keeping four or five guys, you may need to keep five or six at that spot. That means you don't have the luxury of keeping a third quarterback, per se. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number.
And to further that point, Lance, you can't stick him on the practice squad because he's got to go through waivers first. And there's no way Ryan Nassib is clearing waivers because if another team has a chance to pick him up for nothing, they'll take him in a heartbeat.
Look around the league and all the quarterback competitions. I mean, this is something that Giants fans should sit back and reflect on. Compared to what a lot of teams are going through during the course of training camp, you've got stability here in Giants Nation. A lot of other teams can't say that. So if Ryan Nassib is put on the market, as Paul just mentioned, and the other teams are not content with the quarterbacks they have in their camps, they are not going to hesitate to grab a young guy like that.
Why not?
Certainly has potential, and he's certainly proven it at the collegiate level. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Gedalia from New Jersey. Gedalia, welcome to the program. What's happening?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. What you got?
Good. I'm just wondering, what's the story with Hakeem Nicks' injury? Is it a blow to the Giants or not?
Well, yesterday he left practice because of a little bit of tightness in his groin. Tom Coughlin did not seem overly concerned. So I'm going to take a follow from him and not really be that upset about it. Now, we're going to go out to the practice field in about, it's almost 10 o'clock. So we get out there at around 1:30 today, and we're going to get a chance to see if Hakeem Nicks is indeed running routes or maybe they're holding him off on the side as a precaution. But, again, you need to understand, if it was that bad, he probably wouldn't have stayed on the sidelines during the latter part of practice. Usually when a guy gets hurt and they're concerned about him, they take him inside to the trainer's room, put him up on the table, and start working on him. They don't let him sit around and watch the rest of the snaps. So I'm going to draw some logic from that and tell you that it's probably not that bad.
Right.
And he's looked good, by the way. He's looked good in the first 2 days of practice. He's looked very good.
Yeah, for sure. I want to ask you, what was the Giants' thing of staying in the Timex Performance Center instead of going up to Albany? What was the change about?
Well, the contract in Albany was up, and quite honestly, Tom Coughlin's biggest pet peeve about being in Albany is that when there's inclement weather, he really had to put the guys in sneakers, run them inside to the basketball arena, and do walkthroughs on the basketball court, which is really not the way you want a whole training camp. And so that was his biggest pet peeve about Albany. And so, you know what? Now they're back here. It's just really that simple.
Right. And this is a long-time thing, or this is just they'll renew the contract up in Albany?
In terms of renewing the contract in Albany, well, I mean, I would think that right now they're content and appreciate the phone call, Gedalia, with the setup here. As Paul just mentioned, you have an indoor and an outdoor facility, so you can't go wrong if the weather's not good. You move everything inside. Guys don't have to put on the sneakers. They can stay in their uniforms, and you can still get in the type of work that you planned that was on the schedule. So I don't know if they're necessarily itching or in a rush to get back to Albany, especially if things are comfortable here, Paul.
Well, remember, the new CBA also reduces the number of practices you can have. And Tom told me last summer when we were up in Albany, you know, Paul, I used to get almost twice as many practices into a training camp than I have now. If I get one rained out now, that's a big loss for me. So that's a factor he's not taken very lightly. For that reason alone, I'm not so sure that they'll ever move out of here again. Is it possible? I suppose anything's possible, but I would tend to doubt it.
It's not like two-a-days back in the day where you just grinded these guys during the morning and during the evening. You really have one set practice, so you don't want to have to sacrifice one, especially with time limited, because before you know it, they're going to have to go out there to play in a preseason game. And Tom Coughlin talked about this over the last couple of days that, you know, he has a date in his mind where he expects this team to digest the playbook and be set. He hasn't necessarily revealed that date, but they are on a set schedule. If they fall behind that, then obviously that affects the outcome that you want to see play out come the first preseason game.
Given the restrictions of the new CBA, Lance, Tom Coughlin and the rest of the NFL coaches don't have much choice. They've got to put much more emphasis on the film work and the classroom work and the book work than they ever had to before during other training camps.
It's nice and comfortable when you're in your own backyard. I know the players talk about they like to go away, get away from the family, and they are trying to mimic that with having them all stay at a hotel, but right. You don't have to pack up the weights. Like you said, you've got the classrooms, the media rooms here. You have an indoor and outdoor facility. I don't think at this point the team could really ask for much in terms of how they've laid out training camp. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat at Twitter. You can also follow and interact with us on Twitter, Paul at Giants WFAN, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's head back to the lines. We've got AJ in Rochester. AJ, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Giants football's back. Loving it.
Absolutely. What's happening, AJ? What's on your mind?
Yeah, you guys were talking Giants D, linebackers, so that's why I'm calling. My question is this. Do you guys think that it's healthier to let the linebackers battle it out, kind of hodgepodge the reps, and just let guys show up in preseason games, and whoever wins the battle that way? Or do you think it's better to pick three linebackers, your three that you think are going to be the most stout, the most potent, the most best for the defense, the way Prairie Fuel has it designed, and let them get the line share of the reps for in terms of, like, chemistry?
This linebacking core hasn't proven enough to give away snaps to any of the guys. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You know, you're looking at a bunch of guys who right now don't have a lot of pelts on their belts. And so it's got to be an open competition. Now, I will say this. Keith Rivers had a great preseason last year. I thought he was the Giants' best defender during the course of the preseason. But then what happened? He got hurt. I understand that based on a terrific offseason program and the fact that he looks sensational right now, he's the guy who's getting more reps than anybody else. He's out there with the first team as the strong side guy. He's going to be a three-down linebacker. He should be on the field all the time. I get all of that. And until he tweaks something, and let's say, I hope he doesn't, he's the one solid guy I think you should or want to be able to count on in that linebacking core. But all the other guys, hey, man, get in that steel cage and fight it out.
Okay, so my other question then is, I think talent is going to show out more than anything else with this group, because besides Paysinger, they all have an injury history. If you really look up and down the roster, even Dan Connor. So I think that talent is going to kind of show out and prove itself. And when you line guys like Curry and Rivers and Connor up against second string and third string players in the preseason, those guys are going to show up as the guys that make more plays than the other guys against first-team people. It's just in my opinion. Like, you're taking first-round starter talent and putting it against second-string, third-string guys in preseason. Those guys are going to shine, provided they don't get hurt. So, you know, I guess I'm going for Rivers, Connor, and Curry to be the starting three because they're just the most talented. And if I had to put my money on somebody to, you know, perform at a high level, that's who I put my money on.
All right, appreciate the phone call, but you should know that Curry right now is running second string strong side behind Keith Rivers. They're not running him on the weak side. In fact, I personally believe he might have a shot, in my mind, at competing in the middle. I wouldn't mind, but Lance, I'm telling you, I'm looking at this guy. He's big, he's thick, he's stout. Looks like he could be a heck of a run defender. I wouldn't mind even throwing him into the competition at middle linebacker and thinking that Curry and Rivers together could be a pretty forceful combo against the run. But at this moment, the Giants are working him back up strong side.
You mentioned the type of shape that he entered camp, lost about 15 pounds.
250 right now.
Coaching staff was very pleased with the work that he's put in between mini camps, OTAs, and the start of training camp. So that certainly made a statement. And Aaron Curry is an interesting name to throw out there because of his history, and AJ alluded to it. You know, former first-round pick, was with the Seahawks, was with the Raiders. The Giants are giving him a second chance. This is really his opportunity. I mean, he doesn't need any more motivation at this point, Paul, to
no,
go out there
not.
And make a statement.
He does not. He has been on two teams, flamed out with both for various reasons. His own attitude, he has admitted that, you know, thought things were just willed to him. And let's face it, nobody can take anything for granted in this league. I mean, the competition's too good. And then he had the knee injury. He also thinks that in some ways the schemes that he was put in did not help him. All right, you know what? Those are three reasons why Aaron Curry has not been the first-round pick that he was supposed to be. That's a lot of reasons. You better clean all of them out right now, or you're not going to be in this league at all, period. You know, maybe time to check out the arena ball.
You look at the nucleus of the linebacker core, and you look at Keith Rivers and Aaron Curry. I mean, you have two former first-round picks, but there's question marks connected to these two guys because of Rivers' injury history after getting even traded from the Bengals. That carried over, being plagued by injuries. And then Curry not necessarily panning out and living up to expectations.
Look, you and I both know that coming out of school, both of these guys were studs. I mean, they were bona fide, blue chip, dynamite prospects who were supposed to be virtually can't misses. Had they been, the Giants never would have been able to touch them. So, you know, you gotta understand there's going to be questions, there's going to be baggage involved, and you just hope that not only A, is the player got his head on straight, B, your coaching staff finds a way to use him and bring out the best in him, and then see, hope the player physically is capable of doing what you need him to do.
AJ touched on this, our last caller. He talked more about having a rotational unit during the course of the preseason. I'm going to throw out another situation here. What if Perry Fuel felt that he liked what he saw out of a group of five, and they maybe went to a more rotational scheme during the course of the regular season, as opposed to really sticking with three guys in three specific positions? Could that very well play out?
Oh, I don't think there's any question, Lance, that you are going to see some matchups going on during the course of the 16 games. It's not going to be you guys are the guys, and you're just going to rotate in every once in a while when you need a breath. That's not going to be the deal here. I do believe that you will see specific matchups against certain teams and certain personnel groupings where the other guys are going to get on the field. To me, Keith Rivers is an every down guy. I believe that, if he's healthy. I think Jaquan Williams, although I'm not 100% sure, I think he could be, but I'm not sure yet. Connor and or Herzlick in the middle? No way. Absolutely no way are they every down guys. Okay? I mean, both of those fellas, for as much as they've tried to show this coaching staff over the spring, I don't see them as three down linebackers. I think they are first down backers, maybe second down backers, but even on second down and long, there's a likelihood you're going to pull those guys off the field.
You like to use this term a lot. It's a show-me campaign for a player. I would probably throw Herzlick in that category.
Absolutely.
Paul. You know, everybody thought he would have
tattooed it on his forehead, Lance.
Everybody thought he would have had the opportunity to beat out Chase Blackburn last season. It didn't necessarily pan out that way. Can't think of a better opportunity for him now with a unit that you said for the most part is unproven. Dan Connor, yes, an established veteran, but let's not forget, with his days with the Panthers and the Cowboys, has also been somewhat injury-prone, and he was mainly backing up Sean Lee last season, and then Sean Lee got hurt, and obviously they had to turn to Dan Connor. So he's also a guy that you question maybe how much gas does he have in the tank, and that's why it's not too much of a stretch to say he may not be an every-down middle linebacker, and they're going to need either a balance between a Herzlick or a Connor, or go the route of experimenting with Curry in that spot.
And, you know, let's face it, you know as well as I do, Lance, Connor's actually a hybrid anyway. He's a 3-4, 4-3, inside guy, outside guy. He's one of those, hey, you know what? We're comfortable we have him. We can plug him in anywhere to do what we think is going to be an adequate job. But do you really want him to be your starting anchor in the middle, day in and day out, especially in a 4-3? I'm not so sure.
Especially considering the Giants could not stop the run last season. That is the one area that they certainly want to shore up. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513 on Twitter. Hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go back to the lines. We've got John in South Carolina. John, welcome to the program. What's happening?
How you doing, man?
Doing well, John. What you got?
Yeah, I just want to talk about the linebackers.
Sure.
Okay, I think it's going to be Rivers, Connor, and Williams, the starters. And the base 3-4 package.
3-4, you mean the 4-3?
Yeah, the 4-3, that's what I meant, 4-3.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something. We've talked about this throughout the course of the offseason, and I think it's really going to show its head during the 16-game regular season. That maybe not so much in the preseason, because you know they go vanilla. They don't show a lot. The Giants are going to use a lot of two linebacker sets, using that three-safety look that they really, really like to do. And so, to some degree, it lessens the importance of what starting three you want to put on the field. You know what I mean? It's going to happen
right
that way, trust me. I mean, Perry Fuel, he knows, as well as you, I, and Lance do, that his linebacking core is not a very strong unit anyway. So, to get an extra guy off the field is not exactly going to be a reach for him, okay? Let's make that very clear.
Right, right. So if you're saying the three safety package when they play that, so the two linebackers, Rivers and Williams?
It would seem to me right now, if I had to make the pick, that would be the way I would go. Ryan Mundy, at the moment, is working as the third safety.
Right, right. I got one more question for y'all.
Sure.
Are they playing Cooper Taylor at the safety, or are they going to put him in the linebacker outside?
He's running third-team safety right now. You know, behind, actually second-team safety, because Hill's been running third-team safety since they know he's not going to be around for the first four games of the regular season. But, you know, to me, that's another position, Lance, that's going to just cause nightmares for the Giants, because I think they'd like to keep four safeties. They've been very impressed with Mundy as the third guy behind Brown and Roll. Well, who's your fourth? Is it Will Hill or is it Cooper Taylor? You're not going to cut Cooper Taylor. You just drafted him. I mean, this is a tough deal.
And, John, certainly appreciate the phone call. And regarding Taylor, you know, he has versatility because of his experience on the collegiate level. You can bring him up to the line and you can also play him back in coverage. That's a nice benefit to have, especially if they go to the three safety alignment.
You know what I love about Cooper Taylor? You'll get a chance when you go out there, Lance. He's very tall and long. I mean, his wingspan is just off the charts. I could see him being used as a cover guy on any tight end in this league. And with the kind of wingspan that he has, it's going to be a real, real problem for a Jason Witten, per se, to get free from him. Because Taylor's going to be all over him. And even if he's not right there on his back, he's got the wingspan to recover and make a reception a difficult process. I think this kid's got some real tools. But, again, he's only a rookie. And maybe he doesn't even get a uniform on most Sundays this year. That's quite possible, too.
Could be a healthy scratch.
But at some point, I think this kid could be a very valuable player.
And you brought up a great point. You look at the tight ends in this division that the Giants are going to have to contend with. It goes way beyond Jason Witten. Fred Davis has had a couple of big games against the Giants in the past. And the Eagles, remember, Brent Celek, and they also brought in Ertz, the rookie. So they're probably going to show a lot of double tight end formations. And to me, it's important for this team this year to develop another safety so that Antrell Roll is maybe not forced into that slot position time and time again. It can maybe go back to his usual spot where he can roam freely and do what he does best.
Well, quite honestly, that's one of the reasons why they brought Aaron Ross back. That's one of the reasons why they're hoping Terrell Thomas can come back from his knee injury, because he can help in that capacity. And don't forget, I know a lot of folks are really down on Jaron Hosley because he suffered through a lot of rookie growing pains. But folks, remember the word I just said, rookie, okay? How many corners in this league, especially slot corners, come in as a rookie and just light it up right away? It doesn't happen. It takes 2 or 3 years for usually any corner to really get his legs right, especially if he's going to play the slot, which is extremely difficult to play in this league. So, to me, Hosley has not lost any luster off of his game from the time he walked into this complex last season. I'm still very, very high on him.
Another name that we haven't mentioned, and I'm getting a few reminders on Twitter, could be the odd man out if they have to only keep X amount of safeties, Tyler Sash.
I don't see Tyler Sash making the team, quite frankly, because we've already talked about 5 safeties who are ahead of him on the depth chart. I mean, you're not going to keep 6, that's for sure.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. I am really excited about this next caller because he is probably your biggest fan. Dave in Rochester. Dave, how's everything?
Great. I got my I Love My Paul Dottino t-shirt on right now.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, Paul. How are you?
I'm well.
Hey, If I could go back to what you were talking about before about the years where they won 8, 9, 10 games, didn't make the playoffs, and at least especially for this year, if you notice, many times during interviews, players said that they were inconsistent. We heard that all year. Antrell Roll got on NFL.com and talked about it many times this year. Talking to the players, are you seeing anything with them? We talked about some of the inconsistencies, what they were, but as the players, are they kind of telling you what the real problem was in their hearts, or are they talking about changing it? Are they talking about what to do to change it this year to get maybe 10 wins and making the playoffs or 11 wins this year? Is there something different that you're feeling?
Well,
yeah, really?
You have to understand something. The Giants were a 9-win team last season, and in a lot of years, 9 wins is going to get you in. So they're not that far off from being a playoff team. And yes, they've lost some players since last season, but there were also a lot of things that really sabotaged them last year, especially some very important injuries. We mentioned earlier, Jaquan Williams was going to be a very big part of what they wanted to do defensively. Perry Fuel loves to use him in multiple ways. And when he went down, I hate to say it, but because they didn't have enough depth at linebacker, it really took a big chunk out of their defensive playbook. And
right. And
quite frankly, look, I'm never going to badmouth Ahmad Bradshaw. I will not do that. But you can't tell me, and Tom Coughlin would second my very statement if he were sitting here with me, you can't tell me that it did not impact his game and this running game by the fact that he could never practice. I mean, he was getting out there giving you blood and guts every Sunday, and he got his 1,000 yards, and I appreciate that. But the inconsistencies of this running game not only had to do with the offensive line, which certainly went through its troubles and its injury trouble as problems as well, but the fact that Bradshaw could never get on the practice field. I mean, that was a problem. I mean, folks, you got to understand, there were some built-in issues here that were working against this team. I think they actually did a pretty good job to finish 9-7, to be honest with you. So
I hear you.
So we're not blowing this thing up, okay? We're not building from scratch here. We're talking about some tweaks. We're talking about the infusion of some good free agents. We're talking about the infusion of some young rookies who should be able to steal some playing time. And on top of that, I think what we're talking about is a division that's really in flux once again. So there's no reason why the Giants can't win 9 or 10 games and be a playoff team this year.
And plus, two, like you said, we don't know what we're going to get from the Eagles or from the Redskins, yeah, or even from the Cowboys for that matter.
There's a lot of questions across this division, Dave. You could point to the Redskins, RG3. How's he going to bounce back? Plus, they didn't really shore up their secondary. The Eagles, brand new coach. Who's going to be the quarterback? Are they going to run the ball? Are they going to pass the ball? That's a fascinating storyline to watch. They've also revamped their secondary. The Eagles brought in all 4 new players in terms of the corners and the safeties. And with respect to the Cowboys, you got a new play caller in Bill Callahan. How is that going to shake things up? Is Tony Romo going to put some of his mishaps behind him?
Kiffin as the defensive coordinator.
So they're changing schemes in terms of a 4-3 now alignment.
A lot of unknowns here.
Yeah. It's wide open to me, the NFC East. I don't think, even with the Redskins winning the division last year, that you could say right now that they're the favorites because they have a lot of questions themselves.
Here's what I will say. And, Lance, I know it's probably early to even say this, especially at only after 10 o'clock on Monday, the first Monday of camp.
Well, it's late in the day for you, though. You're
yeah,
up early.
Exactly.
You know, running the lap. So, come on, that's premature.
But I will say this, okay? I believe if RG3 is healthy and if all the NFC East teams are healthy, I think the Redskins might have the slight edge, but I think that's a big if. I don't know that you can count on RG3 to be RG3. In fact, I don't even know if you can count on him to play 16 games. And I'm going to tell you right now, if he's not, the Giants are winning this division because they've got the best quarterback, they've got the best coaching staff, they've got the most stability, and they've also got the most rings in their lockers because the last 5 years they've won 2 of them. So I will say that.
Well, will they maybe not give all the chips to RG3 this year just because of what happened last year? They'll be a little scared.
You know, here's the bottom line. RG3 says he may play a little bit in the 4th preseason game, but as it stands now, Lance, correct me if I'm wrong, he's really not scheduled to play until the regular season. That's how I heard it.
I don't think they have any plans on throwing him into a preseason game.
He said maybe the 4th game. Maybe. He might get a few snaps. Outside chance.
I mean, he has yet to take part in a practice.
So how can anybody in Washington be confident that they're getting the real RG3 again? How can they possibly feel that way with any sense of confidence? How? So I think, honestly, the Giants have a real good chance to win this division.
Dave, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning. I want to get to a number of other calls as we close out the show here, but Dave is always welcome to join the conversation, especially when Paul DiTino is sitting across from me.
We're not related, by the way, at all.
On Big Blue Kickoff.
Just so you know. Yes, Dave and I are not related.
You didn't pay or bribe him to call in to tell you how wonderful you are. Yes, we want to make that clear to the Giants faithful. But before we get to more calls, I just want to piggyback off of a point that you made. You look at Jaquan Williams. He got hurt in that San Francisco 49ers game last season. That was relatively early in the year, week 6. So after that, you know, that contributed to the inconsistency.
There's no question about it, Lance, because not only did they want him to be a nickelbacker, you know, to worry about being a spy and to deal with all these mobile quarterbacks that they were seeing throughout the course of the season, but they also wanted him to be a little bit of a blitzer. They also wanted him to be a little bit of a run stopper because he's so quick up and down the line. He had a lot of roles on this defense. And the truth of the matter is, when he went down, they really didn't have anybody who was capable of stepping up and taking those roles to the level that they thought they were going to get out of him. And so they got gun-shy. Perry Fuel, I'm going to tell you something. Perry Fuel, for all the folks who rip him to shreds, Perry Fuel got very apprehensive and very gun-shy with what he was trying to do with his defense because he saw the key guys that he had in his D. Kenny Phillips was not the same player. Come on. Coming off of his knee, he was not the same player. And all of these things contributed. OC wasn't the same player. Tuck wasn't the same player. JPP wasn't the same player. So now you're Perry Fuel, and you're going into a game with the revolver. And you know what? Five of the six bullet chambers aren't working right. What are you going to do? You know, it affects your game plan. And I think people have to give some consideration to that before they start throwing, you know, rocks at Perry Fuel. And I've had a lot of people do that on my Twitter account. I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to stand up for this guy because I know the broken gun that he was taking into games every weekend.
And that's why the depth chart that we've been talking about throughout the course of this show is so imperative and important coming into this season, because in the event that one of those five guys that you just named gets hurt, Perry Fuel needs to have confidence that he can throw in a guy that has similar skill set so that the system can continue the way it was meant to be at the beginning of the season. Simple as that. 201-939-4513, the telephone number. Let's go to our very good friend Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
Hey, man. Okay, I'm going to just jump right in because I've been listening and I got a lot to say.
Well, the floor is yours, Shakes. What you got?
First, let me talk about Perry Fuel, which you called a game. Now, I'm not a basher of Perry Fuel. I'm not. But his aggressiveness with the defense is not up to par. To me, he's been average. Since he's been here.
No, Shakes, I gotta stop you. Your first premise is already erroneous. The guy can't be as aggressive as you want him to be when he's got a broken gun.
No, see, that's why I'm trying to say. My point is, you can't give him that excuse. You can't give him that excuse. He got more talent than Spags ever had.
Last year, do you know how many guys on that starting defense were nicked up and not nearly at 100%? That's like taking a toothpick and stepping into the box against the Mets' Matt Harvey. Come on.
Spags had the same thing. Straight hand was going down.
Whoa. The Super Bowl season? That defense was in terrific shape for Spags when they won the Super Bowl in 42. Come on, he had O.C. Tuck and Stray at his disposal. He had Pierce. Kavika Mitchell was playing at a very high level. The secondary played very well that year.
Average. That's what I'm telling you. They were average.
What?
Kavika Mitchell? Come on, man.
Kavika Mitchell played very well that year. What are you talking about?
He did play well, but come on, he's average. The talent that he got now. Come on, man.
Shakes, time out. You're going to tell me that any one of these linebackers on the roster this morning are better than what Kavika Mitchell was in 2007? Are you seriously going to tell me that?
I think they got more talent than
Kavika Mitchell. Kavika Mitchell was a very solid player for them that season.
Don't get me wrong. He was very solid.
Keith Rivers is the only guy who you're going to tell me has a chance to actually be better than what Kavika Mitchell was that year. Seriously.
What? Jaquan Williams was going to have a way better year than Kavika Mitchell did?
What? No. In terms of Jaquan Williams, even though he may wind up being an every down backer, there are certain things he does extremely well. That's different than what Kavika Mitchell was asked to do for when he played for this team. Totally different role. Kavika Mitchell was an impact player.
He was involved in so many turnovers.
Come on, well, man.
He got better talent.
See, Jaquan Williams is not going to be a turnover machine. Kavika Mitchell was. Jaquan Williams, in his role on this defense, he's not a turnover guy. That's not what he's going to do. He's responsible for eliminating people, eliminating plays. He's not responsible for creating big plays. That's not what he does.
All right, well, we'll have this conversation later on in the season.
All right, Shakes. I love you, man, but this time I got to take exception.
Shakes, anytime you can work up Paul this early in the season, I'm in favor of that. What else do you have, Shakes? Because we got a couple other callers I want to get to.
Yeah. I want to get through that. Training camp. Now, y'all know I've been big on Aaron Curry, and so far in training camp, he's been lighting it up. Now, has he not?
Well, it's very early. We're only about 2 days in.
Well,
at this point,
two practices, he's been lighting it up, has he not?
I wouldn't say that. I think he's done okay. I don't think lightening up is the correct adjective. He's been okay. He's doing okay, but he's going to have to show a lot in the preseason games. That's where he's going to win a roster spot. Okay?
Okay.
Watch the game against Pittsburgh and then call us back.
All right, man.
All right, Jake.
I'll talk to y'all some more tomorrow, man, because I got more to say. But all right.
All right, brother.
Jake's. See, Paul would say that Kavika Mitchell was lighting it up that season. That's
he
fair
was.
To use that term. I don't know if we throw lighting it up in the Aaron Curry category just yet.
Not yet.
201-939-4513. Let's get to some more of your calls. We've got Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Jake, you got me fired up. when you bring more pressure, then you're vulnerable in the coverage, so it's like a double-edged sword. But I think the Giants are improved in their backfield, defensive backfield, and the pass rush, and the defensive line. My question was, real quick, some underrated Giants Paul missed. Mine was Mark Collins, because he was a shutdown corner. He was able to actually dominate Jerry Rice. Underrated.
Mark Collins was never underrated by me, so I can't give you that one. You see, when I hear the word underrated, it's a very, very difficult thing to say because there are those people who know football who don't underrate certain players, and there are those people who don't know a lot about football, just read the papers, and don't really get the X's and O's.
Paul knows it all. And two assistant coaches that were underrated were Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi, both assistant coaches for the New York Giants.
Underrated? They're in the Hall of Fame. How are they underrated?
I mean, as Giants. Most people don't know that Landry was the offensive coordinator and Lombardi was the defensive coordinator at the same time. That's like Parcells, Belichick. But I'm sorry, my trivia question seemed not interesting, but when you hear the answer, you'll be excited. Did you know what running back I was referring to when I asked he played baseball and football?
Oh, no. That was from last week. Andrew, yep. I didn't even try to look it up. What was the answer?
The answer is Jim Thorpe. The legendary athlete Jim Thorpe was a running back on the New York Giants.
Look, I know I'm going to disappoint you, but even he was before my time.
Which is hard to believe, by the way. But there are some players that did exist before Paul DiTino was present at the Giants facility, I know.
I couldn't get a hold of any film on him, Lance.
Boy, the legal pads, you just couldn't fill up back in the day. It's disappointing here. But, Andrew, I got to give you credit, regardless of all this trivia. Paul DiTino is moving his chair so far back after every comment that you've made. We're going to run out of space here in our very small studio. So I commend you. You and Shakes have really brought it. You've lit it up this morning. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll get my dad on in a couple days because he's not prepared. He was kind of down on Curry Fuel, too. But I'll just leave you with this. This team, if it stays healthy, it reminds me of, I think it was the Super Bowl team that lost in 2000 when they had Felipe Sparks and Jason Sehorn, Keith Hamilton, Strahan, Tiki Barr. So it reminds me of a really solid, like, 11-5 team if they stay healthy and string some wins together at the end. So I'm pretty excited. Go Aaron Curry, Shakes. I want to see Aaron Curry as a starter. Thanks. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, Andrew, thanks so much. And listen, it's understandable that expectations are high right now. It's early in the season. As we mentioned, the depth is there. If the health cooperates, I think the Giants are certainly going to be in a good position to have a nice bounce-back campaign. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Ed in Maryland. Ed, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I had a question about the tight ends. I was hearing about Brandon Myers. Being a starter, but I was thinking about Adrian Robinson. How are you looking in camp, and does he have a chance to start this year?
Well, you got to remember something. Brandon Myers was brought in from the Raiders with a resume that included 70-plus receptions last season, so he's going to be the starter. And Baird Pasco right now is the H-back. So Adrian Robinson, as far as I'm concerned, is at best your number three tight end. Now, I know they really like his athleticism. He's a very, very big man. And he has shown some promise during the course of practice over the year-plus that he's been here. But to expect him to steal either the first or second position from those veterans is probably asking too much.
Well, I kind of disagree because Jerry Reese and Mike Pope have been raving about him. And Brandon Myers was sort of like a third-tier free agent tight end. You know, he was out there for about 2 or 3 weeks before we signed him to like a 1 year deal. So
I don't mean to cut you off, but Brandon Myers had over 70 receptions for the Raiders last season. And when you look at the talent that was surrounding him, and now you look at the talent that's surrounding him here with the Giants, I wouldn't necessarily call him a third-tier free agent, if you catch my drift. I think that may be a little harsh right now to say.
He wasn't signed until like the second or third week when the season started. And I'm only saying that because prior to last season, which he played on a bad team, he didn't really do much. I think he had like a total of 300 yards for like his career.
He had a breakout season last year. I'll give you that. But see, tight end was not a high priority for most teams in NFL free agency this year. So you can't necessarily look at the timing of his signing and hold that against him. That's not what this is about. You also have to understand, too, a lot of tight end lists are built based on the scheme and how a particular team wants to use him. Now, the way the Giants are going to use Brandon Myers, I'm telling people for the last couple of months, he's going to beat Eli Manning what Dallas Clark was to Peyton Manning. Don't be shocked if he catches 60-plus passes this year. And, quite frankly, a lot of them are going to be third-down conversions because teams are going to try to beat up Knicks. They're going to try to beat up Cruz. And guess what? Brandon Myers is going to be the guy who catches that third-and-five pass for 7 yards and a Giants first down.
Well, I hope he does, but I just don't think he's going to be the long-term Giants starting tight end. So I'm just saying if we have a Robinson guy that's very talented – to, you know, give him a chance of starting instead of just get handed over to Brandon Myers and say he's a starter from day one. I mean, I don't think he even knows the playbook as well as Adrian Robertson, who's been here since last year.
Well, but Adrian Robertson, Ed, remember, had to play catch-up last season because of the Cincinnati schedule. He didn't graduate very early compared to other grads, so he was playing catch-up in training camp because he missed the bulk of OTAs in minicamp. So keep that in mind. Yeah, he's still digesting the playbook.
He's raw. He really is.
Yeah, but listen to Mike Pope. He said that he's made great strides. So I'm just guessing or even thinking that by now, that playbook, like a year later.
Well, that's true. But again, think about his starting point. He's made great strides, but you have to remember where he's coming from. That's all.
Can you pull up Brandon Myers' stats prior to last season? Because I don't think he was a household name until last year.
No, Brandon Myers was just a pedestrian guy on the roster until last year. I think he caught 79 balls and averaged almost 9.5, 10 yards a catch.
79 catches for like 800 yards.
Yeah,
but you have to take into account that the Raiders had no wide receivers.
Correct.
Carson Palmer pretty much had to throw to him almost every passing play.
But But Ed, I understand your point and appreciate your phone call. I want to try to squeeze in a caller or two before we wrap up the show.
That was Adrian Robinson's agent, by the way.
Apparently it was. He's very high on Adrian Robinson. And listen, I'm not going to necessarily hold that against him, but if he's making the point that Brandon Myers had that many receptions and he didn't have wide receivers around him, I bring you back to the point I brought up earlier, Paul. Now look at what he has around him. So are you going to tell me that he can't duplicate what he did last season and then some?
He was drawing the attention of many people in the secondary.
Absolutely. And he's right. He knows, Ed, his stats prior to 2012. Brandon Myers was not a household name. He had 4 receptions in 2009, 12 in 2010, 16 in 2011. But keep in mind, you know, the Raiders had Kevin Boss. They had other options at that position. Brandon Myers was not necessarily the number one guy on the depth chart. And here's another thing I'm going to leave this tight end discussion at. Giants fans, if there is any position to have faith in, wouldn't it be the tight end spot? They have turned in unknown commodities, Paul, into household names here. Jake Ballard, Martellus Bennett even emerged, and he was a backup with Dallas behind Jason Witten. So if there is any position to feel good about with Mike Pope running the show, I would say don't be overly concerned about the tight end spot.
Yeah, he is the Roger Craig of NFL tight end coaches.
201-939-4513. All right, we're going to go real quick here. We've got Tim and Greg on the line. We'll start with Tim in New Jersey. Tim, what's happening?
Hi, I'm great. I got a question for you. How long will be Jason Pierre-Paul out with the back surgery?
Well, you know, he's still thinking he's got an outside chance for week one against Dallas, but he's not promising anything. In fact, when you try to pin him down, he basically says, I'm not really sure. And that's fine, because let's face it, the original time frame from his back surgery put him right at week one for the Cowboys game. And any physician will tell you that that's a sketchy projection at best. And so the Giants are just hoping that he continues to progress, and whenever he's ready, he's ready. And if it's week three, if it's week four, look, I'll say this. The only thing they'd rather not have to do is put him on PUP and put him out for 6 weeks. That they don't want to do. The hope is that if he's not ready for week one, that he's ready for week two or three so that they don't have to even consider putting him on PUP. But if he's going to be out for 4 or 5 weeks, you might as well put him on PUP and get a healthy body on the 53. But they're hoping that's not the case. We're not going to know that until we get closer to the regular season.
So it's really, at this point, too early. It's all speculation. And like you said, if he's not full go week one and he's iffy about two or three, given the tough numbers that they're going to have to crunch this season, Paul, it may not hurt to say, you know what, let's put him on PUP so we could keep another defensive lineman, since there's a lot of depth there between the ends and the defensive tackles. There's a mix of veterans and rookies.
Well, you've got Adrian Tracy, you've got Aluwale Ajomo, and you've got the rookie, DeMontre Moore, who has really, really excited the coaches during his first offseason program.
And you got Hankins, too, who they just drafted as well. You have a number of options that they could throw around, whether it be inside or outside, and it's going to certainly help foster a lot of competition in the weeks ahead. Certainly appreciate all the phone calls and the Twitter comments that we received.
You got one more, no?
Well, I think we'll wrap things
Hey,
up.
Yeah,
Paul's itchy. He wants to take another phone call. All right, we'll get
Look,
another
he was on
caller
hold.
Online.
He was on
True,
hold.
Absolutely. Listen, we accommodate just about anybody.
On
here.
Commercial radio, we couldn't do that. But here,
we
the guy's
exceptions.
On hold, I try to squeeze him in.
See, Shakes and Andrew, they got Paul DeTino all worked up. Now you scared him away, Paul. See,
he's gone? So he showed blitz and backed off.
That's exactly what happened. And now you'll be breaking it down on your legal pad for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So you'll at least have something to get caught up.
Do you know, we had a couple of calls earlier today that actually worked me up into a sweat.
I could tell. You're already getting worked up. I mean, you're ready to get out on the field.
Yeah. Why
you got
not?
Me amped up.
Good. You
I'm ready
be.
Now, too.
You should be. Come on,
this
man.
This is good.
Hey, bottom line, Giants going out there now at 1:30. They'll be out there till 3:45, okay? Tom Coughlin will then hold court. And we're going to find out a little bit more, hopefully, about Akiem Nicks during the course of the afternoon and find out how minor the tightness in his groin was yesterday. I don't think it's a big deal. I want to reassert that once again, folks. I don't think it's a big deal, but we're going to see if he's able to practice this afternoon. Regardless, again, it's only the end of July, so even if he misses a couple of practices or two, don't freak out, okay? Akiem Nicks is going to be okay. His ankle's fine, his foot's fine, his knee's fine. This has nothing to do with that, so don't get crazy.
They've got to be conservative right now to make sure that he can last the course of 16
games. He can't
games.
Help him beat the Cowboys today, right?
So- And he's not going to do any damage in the preseason, or if he, God forbid, hurts himself and then you lose him for week one or week two, you know, what's the point? Why make that sacrifice?
So I just want to reiterate for the billionth time, and we go through this every July and August, folks, don't get too upset or panicky about who does or does not practice on a daily basis. If it becomes a habitual thing to where a guy misses a couple of weeks of practice and then can't get on the field at all for the preseason games, can't even take 5 token snaps, and then all of a sudden week one is upon us, now you could start scratching your head and wonder about what the guy might be able to give you. But right now, there's just no reason to get crazy.
Few reminders before we wrap up this show. Obviously, stay locked into Giants.com for all the latest training camp news. It's a great website. They have a lot of different features, video, and content, so make sure you always stay tuned into the website for all of our latest programming. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday morning throughout the course of training camp. We have moved the time up to the normal slot. It's now going from 9:30 a.m. Eastern to 10:30. It used to be obviously 10 to 10:30. Now that the season has come back, we're scheduling it back to 1 hour, so make sure sure you tune in. We'll take your phone calls and interact with the fans either on Twitter and on the phone lines. And also, Training Camp Live, a weekly show at 6 Eastern, which you could catch on MSG Plus as well as Giants.com, another way to keep up with all the latest news here at the Giants training facility. Certainly appreciate the phone calls and all the comments. You can continue to interact with Paul Dottino on Twitter at GiantsWFAN. He welcomes it. He spends late nights in front of his phone getting all worked up over your tweets. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Big Blue Kickoff Live back tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.